We're to continue on in this series of sermons about the world versus the Word. The world speaks, and we need to make sure that when the world speaks, that there's something that speaks louder than the world, and that's the Word, that God has something to say about everything, and we need to turn to His words to find truth in our life. Sometimes I help you with your sermon outline, so today you can write whatever you want here, but at the very bottom, I want you to write these words, the big why, W-H-Y, the big why. And then after we close our service the way Jim normally does, I'm going to tell you the big why. Is what I have to present to you will chafe against our humanness. And there's great reasons why Jesus is inviting us into this change in our heart. But there is a bigger why that's at play here than maybe we believe to be true. So stay tuned for that. Here's the lie that the world will tell you. When someone hurts you, and I want a show of hands, let's just be interactive. Has anybody ever hurt you before? I would assume that that's everybody. But when somebody hurts you, comes against you, I mean, sometimes we're like this in our relationships with family, friends, the world, just people, coworkers, but sometimes we're just like this. People will hurt us, but when we are hurt, here's the lie, the world will tell you that it's okay to just get mad, be angry. The world will actually tell you you're justified in being mad. And then after all, have you ever heard this phrase? Well, they started it. Meaning, you need to do something about it because they started it. They're to blame. They're the ones. They're the ones that came against me. And therefore, if they throw a rock at me, I will throw that same rock back at them. The world would say, no, no, that's not good enough. They started it. Here's what you do. If somebody throws a rock at you, pick up a bigger rock and throw it at them. And the next thing you know, you're both in the emergency room. What good comes from that? We see it all the time that if somebody hurts you, your immediate response is to lash out. And my goodness, do we live in a culture now where we are so uber offended by everything and anyone all the time that if somebody does something or says something, we're just instantly got our feathers all ruffled up and we're just mad and we want to just allow that to bubble out of ourselves and we just get mad and the world would say, it's okay to get mad. They have it coming. I think social media can be used for good, but oh my goodness, is it so often not? I mean, how many times do people feel justified to just lash out with their fingers on a keyboard? Somebody posts something that you don't agree with and it just rubs you the wrong way and it just makes you mad. And you're just going to let them know about it. Now, I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I know that this just happens, and the world does this, and this we're all part of the world. This is what we will do. If we're offended, we're going to make sure that they know about it, and we are going to just pound on them keys, and then we're going to hit enter, or we're going to click submit, and then we're going to say, that'll teach them. Oh, and it feels good, doesn't it? Doesn't it feel good? It feels good for like 3 seconds, and then it's like, how did I allow myself to do that? And then you see the response coming back because they're going to respond to your response. And then all of a sudden you're angrier than you were before. Wait a minute, I thought I told them. I thought I set them straight. And they come back at me. Oh my goodness. And the cycle just continues. Da 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 da. Enter. And this is how we just sometimes react to the simplest of things. People can come at us in real ways that are just awful, but sometimes it's the least little thing It can get our ire up and get us mad. It doesn't matter if it's a little thing. Oh, by the way, we're a big thing. When we respond with anything other than kindness, what good comes from that? Can I say this? I'm going to say that again. What good has ever come from picking up that rock and throwing it back? Anything? It feels good, maybe, for like a minute, but if my wife would testify, the moment that I say or do something unkind, even if I have a moment of gratification in that, okay, now I'm going to wallow in that, and I'm just going to feel awful, and I know that the Holy Spirit does this for me and for you, and I will feel horrible for days, weeks, months, maybe longer, just because of one little thing. What good comes from lashing back out at somebody that hurts us? Even though the world says it's okay to be mad, you're justified to be mad. After all, they started it. How dare they say that about you? How dare they do that to you? And it's okay to react in kind to them. It's not okay. It's never okay to meet unkindness with unkindness. It's not. Even though the world would say, you have every right. That's a lie from the world. The Word says to be completely radically different. The world is going to come against us. Did Jesus not tell us in the upper room, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus being transparent, he's telling us, people are going to throw rocks at you. This world's not going to be easy, and there are going to be times that it's just going to be hard to get through. And we've heard a testimony of a pretty awful week. And we've got the testimony of cancer treatment facing some. This world is hard. And there are going to be times that it just comes against us. But Jesus teaches us something different about how we are to respond. And it starts in the depth of our hearts. Because it's easy for me to just say, be nice. No matter what. But that'll get you like 3 seconds down the road, because you can't just be nice, because pastor's doing this series of sermons and he says, when somebody makes you mad, let it go. Don't respond with unkindness. That'll happen about 1 minute after you leave here, and then you'll be right back. It starts in the depth of our heart. We need a radical transformation. We need to be able to change. And there are several reasons for that. I'm going to just talk about a few, and then there's the big why at the end. But the Word will speak into this. Have you ever heard of this expression in regards to somebody hurting us and the need to forgive them? And people have said this to me before, and maybe you've heard this, maybe you have said this, I think I have. Oh, I'll forgive them, but I won't forget. Doesn't that just come from a place of attitude, just right there? Oh, I'll forgive them, really? But I won't forget. I don't think you're really forgiving them. Jesus teaches that forgiveness is pretty important, actually. It might be the most important thing that we're going to find in the Scripture, because it ties ourselves to the ultimate forgiveness that we seek, because Jesus gave himself as a sacrifice on the cross. As part of the Lord's Prayer, found in the book of Matthew, and everything really to live the Christian life, to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, my goodness, there's so much found in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is giving a pattern for prayer, and then we're going to dive into that one day soon, the Lord's Prayer, because it's a pattern of how we should pray, and there's kind of a heart attitude, and I want us to discover that together one day. But there's part of the Lord's Prayer where he says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And I want to say something about that. I want you to hear those words again through a different lens. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Meaning, this is part of the prayer. Jesus would say, don't be coming up in here asking for forgiveness from me unless you're willing to forgive others. And this is what he says in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. In other words, as we have forgiven to the same degree that we are willing to forgive somebody else, don't you dare ask for more forgiveness from heaven, more so than you're willing to extend to somebody else. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. To the same degree, that's a hard issue. If I am willing to forgive somebody else that comes against me, and I'm able to forgive them, I shouldn't ask for more forgiveness than I'm willing to extend to somebody else. But here's what he does. At the end of the Lord's Prayer, because he talked about forgiveness inside his pattern of prayer, and he includes this in his pattern, the Lord's Prayer, for us, because this is so fundamentally important, because he knows how he's made us. He knows that he's made us, that we have this propensity to make life about ourselves instead of about others. And therefore, it's so easy for us to get hurt and offended, and relationships end up like this. If you've brought your Bibles, you can turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. This is following the Lord's Prayer. This is what Jesus has to say, and this is radical. And I want you to understand this. This is why this is so important to Jesus, and we need to just grab a hold of this. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. It needs to be part of our relationship with God, because who are we praying to? We're praying to Him. This is what He says about forgiveness, and this is powerful. And we might not want this to be in God's Word, but it's here. If you'd like to stand, or if you'd like to raise your hands to heaven, if you'd like to close your eyes, but I'm going to read some words that Jesus spoke 2,000 years ago. This is chapter 6, starting with verse 14 and verse 15. Listen, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive other their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Praise be to God for the reading of His words. Hold on, wait a minute, Pastor. Are you saying that if I'm unable to forgive somebody that has hurt me, you will not forgive me? That's what Jesus said. This is why it's so foundationally important that every person around you just matters so much, because God loves them as much as He loves you. They are His children. They are your brothers and sisters. And if you're unable to take this and make it this, don't you dare. How dare you? How dare humanity go in front of the Lord God asking Him to forgive us? It's so easy to pick up that rock, isn't it? It's so easy to pick up that rock and just throw it right back. And it might feel good in the moment, but Jesus would say, this is keeping you from me. If you hold something against somebody else, then that's keeping you and me from being all that we can be with each other. I love that person. No matter how much they've hurt you, I love them as much as I love you. And here's the thing. Don't convince yourself into believing that just because somebody's thrown a rock at you doesn't mean you haven't thrown a few rocks at other people in your day, because you have. We all have. God wants you to be free. He wants you to be free. It's not enough to forgive. We must forget. One of my favorite promises, and I bet it's yours too, that Scripture says that He has removed our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. In other words, I love you so much. Of course I forgive you. You know what? I don't hold that against you. I forget about it. Here's what the Lord sees when He forgives us. He sees His Son's righteousness. And He sees His child that He loves so much. And that's what He wants us to see in other people when they sin against us. But there's a big why coming. Hold on for the big why, because if that's not enough, there's a why coming that changes everything. Brother Jim and his team are going to lead us, and after these two songs, stay tuned. I'm going to have you sit back down, and you got two more minutes of the big why. Amen? Brother Jim? All right, grab a quick seat. Somebody tell me what the Great Commission is. To go and make disciples. Thank you. That's what we're challenged to do as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is really the only thing we have to do is to go. In other words, as we're doing life, the places we go, make disciples. Now, is there a qualification in the Lord's command to us? Does it say, go and make disciples of all the people that you like and all the lovely? Does it? There's only 8 billion of us now and counting in the world today. So I've got 8 billion opportunities to go and make a disciple. Some of those people are like this. Oh, those are my favorites. Because there's a hidden strategy right here that I want to reveal to you that will do more for them, maybe, than all of the people that you're already in great relationship with. Are you ready for this? This is the great why. If somebody picks up a rock and throws it at you, don't pick up a rock and throw it back, but instead do something else. This is radical. Somebody comes against you, do something nice for them. Are you ready for this? This is the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. The Apostle Paul is going to quote from Proverbs. This is the ultimate reason, the big why, that you're going to greet unkindness. Not with unkindness, but with kindness. Not a rock, but love. You ready? This is chapter 12, starting with verse 19. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Then he says this, on the contrary, don't take wrath, don't take revenge, but on the contrary, meaning the opposite, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Enemy. Enemy. The one that just hurt you. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Here we go. Big why. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. In other words, you will bring about conviction. You'll bring about more room for the Holy Spirit of God to move in his heart. You will leave open for that person to think, I was unkind to you, and you're being kind to me. Why? We just sang, Shine, Jesus, Shine. The greatest way that you can make Jesus shine in your life is to be kind when the world says it's okay to be unkind. Because then the Holy Spirit of God has room to move in their hearts. You want to make a disciple? You can't make a disciple if you're throwing rocks at them, even if you're justified, even if you're hurt, even if you're angry. All the more, take that and channel it into love. Don't throw a rock. Throw a biscuit. Brother Bill, make some biscuits and gravy for him. Feed him. Do something kind. Just love on him, and the Holy Spirit of God has room to move. My goodness. Wouldn't the world be a better place? But listen, heaven is made more crowded if the people of God would actually love unconditionally, no matter what is happening to them, no matter who is coming against them. Amen? All right, church, I'm going to send you out in just a moment. I'm going to give you some instructions. If you're going to stay for the local church conference, I'm going to give you about 10 minutes. You can go take a break. Mamas and daddies and grandma and grandpa, please go get your kids, though. Get them, and they're welcome to come in here. If you have to leave, that's okay. But if you choose to stay, well, we're going to hear what God is doing in a special way here. So, church, you've got about 10 minutes. And in the meantime, well, later, whenever you do leave, we're going to meet a world that's got rocks ready to throw at us. I'm going to send you right into the firing squad. Don't throw them back. Love on them. And when you're doing that, you want Jesus to shine? That's the best way for it to happen. Shine, Jesus, shine. Church, you are sent.